AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this here show, Wednesday, January the 22nd, 2025, is the date, in case you were wondering, for those of you who still write checks. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Welcome back.
Wesley Wildman.
This is a great day.
A great day. And Wesley will tell you why in a minute. Fred Jackson, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Welcome back.
Good to be back in the studio. Wesley and I were part of our a contingent of our staff here who went to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration that wasn't. At least outside, it wasn't.
Yeah,
they canceled it because everybody knows this by now. Canceled it because of the cold, bitter cold weather, and I think it was the right having walked the streets of D.C. during the time that the inauguration would have taken place. It was the right move. I know a lot of people were disappointed. We met a lot of them, didn't we, Wesley? Who had come from all over the country.
Well, they were disappointed mildly, meaning that they were
right.
But by and large, they were very understanding.
Oh, yeah. They were disappointed. It had to be canceled, but everybody was understanding that.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, the hardcore Trump supporters, would have stood out in that, but it would have been dangerous, quite frankly.
Right.
I'm serious, because you're talking 12 degrees with 25 mile an hour winds. Yeah. It was bad.
And Trump said himself, he said from the outside looking in, the sun was out,
right.
Looked beautiful. He said... Yeah. And I thought we made the wrong decision. He said, and then I stepped outside and was like, good call.
I think Trump said something to the effect, have you ever tried to talk in cold weather, really cold weather? And he said they would have shown me up there, and they'd have said he has a cognitive decline.
He said that.
He said the lying media would have said I had cognitive decline because of, my teeth would have been chattering. He didn't say that, but I'm just saying. And I think everybody who was there, who was in the rotunda that we all saw, all the celebrities and the billionaires and the senators and so forth, were glad that President Trump, I guess he was the one who made the call on that, to put it inside, because he would have. Those were a lot of old folks, I guess.
Yeah, you don't want to be up there speaking and having ambulances come up to
cart
people
away. No, and the wind blowing your papers around. I mean, it would have been bad. But anyway, it was a. We were in D.C. We went to a couple of events. We went to a Christian gala, and we went to a watch party.
Mm-hmm.
And we
all with the same people, large group of Christians. I wanted to add there and mention her as a shout out, Andrea Lafferty. She was the one that coordinated the Christians, or there was obviously a lot of Christians and probably other Christian groups that I didn't know about at the time. But we went, and she coordinated a bunch of Christians to get together to celebrate the good that's taken place from a conservative side.
Yeah, and we got to hear from the governor of Oklahoma and one of the senators there, Lankford from Oklahoma, spoke at this particular event we were at. Another a gentleman who was there was Dutch Cheech.
Oh, yeah, I know Dutch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know him personally?
Yes.
Like, call him up on his cell phone?
His cell phone number.
Call him up right now.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No, let's see if you're being real about it.
His wife and my wife grew up together.
He's
And I've known Dutch. He was a teacher at the Bible college I went to.
He is known for his teaching on intercessory prayer.
Yes.
That's, and he had a couple of best-selling books and that kind of
thing. His book on intercessory prayer is the best I've ever read.
Yeah.
It's outstanding.
There were several pastors, well, including Dutch. There were other pastors.
Oh, you know him too? Dutch, calling by the first name.
What do I call him? Pastor Dutch?
Well,
Dr. Dutch?
I don't know. You call him Dutch Sheets, you know.
Okay, so you got him on your speed dial over there.
He's not in my favorites. I do have him on there.
He spoke. Contact. He was outstanding in his remark.
Danny Gokey.
Gokey. Was the singer. Well, at one point, we're going to play his song, Brave.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
He was a singer at the event we went to, and he was evidently an American Idol contestant a few years back finished third or whatever, but he was dynamite. We walked the streets, there in downtown Washington, D.C. The parade avenue, Pennsylvania Avenue, was blocked off. Well, there was a large part of downtown that was cordoned off, what do you call it, when they perimeter?
Yeah, but put barriers up.
Barriers up. You had to go through security. Uh-huh. So it was very secure. In fact,
security in and out.
Yes, there were.
They checked you as you were leaving.
Oh, yeah. Police officers from around the country. There was, I guess there were National Guardsmen.
National Guards. There were state troopers. There were local police officers from around different states.
Yes. When we were in the airport there, when we arrived on, I guess it was Saturday, we saw a contingent of Alabama state troopers who were there. I guess there were 10 or 12 of them. I don't know how many of them. But
deputized.
Yeah, so I'm assuming they come into the District of Columbia, and they're deputized. All of these people are to help with security. So I'm assuming, and we met a police contingent from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know they did this.
I didn't either. Like this. So the Alabama state troopers, they were in uniform?
They were in the uniform. Okay. They were at the airport there.
You could tell the difference between right there. Eyesight, you could see four different state
like
law enforcement.
Well, I was walking fast with my luggage. The guy said, slow down. I said, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I don't want a ticket here in the airport for walking too fast.
Yeah. Slow down.
It
was
sir.
A great time. A lot to be excited about. And Fred's got some stories to get us started.
Absolutely. Fred, what's the first story?
Well, the first story has to do with weather. You guys are talking about weather. Tim, you like to go to Destin, enjoy the white sand.
Oh, there. I love the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
The white sand. I like how you did that.
Along the Gulf of America.
Yes. Well, the beach is very white today. Very white.
Yes.
But it ain't sand.
Right.
It is.
White beach privilege. Today.
I tell you what. Yesterday, 24 hours ago, Galveston. Snow on the beach at Galveston,
the picture
Houston,
amazing.
Texas, Daphne, Alabama.
Yeah.
That's my youngest daughter lives there.
Yeah.
9 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nine.
Yeah. Yeah. We've said goodbye to that part of the country. they'll join us again in May. I joke with somebody that Trump, just to demonstrate his supernatural powers, had issued an executive order for a blizzard in Louisiana.
Yes.
And it took place. It happened.
And global warming.
They did really Yes. They did really have an official winter blizzard alert.
Yes.
In Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
Along the coastline there.
I saw pictures in New Orleans.
Yeah.
People playing hockey. Yeah.
Yes.
In the streets, skating in the streets.
It's broken all records.
Yeah.
It broke the record that was, I think, set in 63. They had about 3 inches of snow.
You mean the record records for New Orleans or all along the coast?
All along the coast.
Well, Florida, too. I noticed that they were saying that this is record snowfall. I mean, I'm talking like since back to, since Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Okay, since records have been kept.
I think Destin was like 5 to 6 inches.
Yeah.
Orange Beach.
Mobile's like 8.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
If you don't do anything else today, those listening, just find a picture of what we're talking about, because it is remarkable to see the snow and it be cold enough not to melt on the sand.
Right.
The snow on the sand.
I did a live cam. I went to a live cam this morning for Destin and watched people walking their dogs on the snowy sand.
Yes.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's amazing. So, but serious side of all of this, over 60,000 people without power.
Okay.
That's very serious. And the snow part of it has moved on to the Carolinas. but it's really cold in behind. They don't have a lot of snow removal equipment in that part of the country.
Right.
So they're going to be driving on ice, no salt. This is going to be very dangerous for several days.
Yeah.
Right. It's all going to be shut down. It'll stay shut down until that all just starts to melt because they don't have the equipment to actually remove it or mitigate when you have like ice in the street.
You know what I was thinking about it was funny for me to think about, but not for the people probably that it happened to, although they probably saw the irony. For the people from the northern part of the country who go to Florida and the Gulf Coast as snowbirds.
Yes.
And here the snow follows them. Record numbers. Somebody down there is going, okay, we're going to have to draw straws here.
Yes.
Because somebody ain't living right.
And somebody's got to go home.
Yeah, somebody's going home.
The folks from Wisconsin go to Destin. Did anybody bring a shovel?
I know their family from back home is going, how you like it Florida down there, Bill? You drove 1,500 miles to get 8 inches of snow. Anyway, it is a unique weather event that's never happened and maybe never will again. Who knows? With the global warming being like it is, I was Allison, my wife, and I were talking about this. I said, the weather people, the meteorologists, not all of them, but the people who are big, they're going to say climate change.
Sure.
Okay, get ready for climate change. Because when they switched, the world is ending because of carbon emissions people.
Right.
They switched from global warming. Al Gore started all this. Remember with global warming?
That's right, yeah.
An inconvenient truth.
An inconvenient truth. When global warming wasn't working out for them in the way that they wanted to, like in the polar ice cap didn't melt like Gore said it was going to.
That's right.
Then they had to switch terminology. So they switched from global warming to
climate change.
Climate change. Why? Because climate change is a I win, you lose proposition.
Yes. Exactly.
Huh?
If it's too wet, it's climate change. If it's too dry, it's
climate change.
Yeah.
If it snows on the Gulf Coast, then it's climate change.
Yes.
They don't have to say, we don't understand why global warming didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I've said before, global warming, if it's happening, it ain't happening because of man.
Right.
Okay. It may be happening. I don't know, but I like it myself. I'm just going to vote for it if you have to ask me because I can't stand cold weather. But anyway, it's a weather event that we won't see in probably a long time again. Who knows? But all right. So we have President Trump. It's not president-elect anymore. It's as of like 48 hours ago, it's President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He is like the Energizer Bunny, and his hand is getting sore for signing these executive orders. Right, Fred?
That is right. And part of the executive orders, and he referred to it in his inaugural speech the other day, that he was ending DEI policies at all federal agencies. And true to his word, within 48 hours, there are pink slips going out. As we're sitting here right now, there are pink slips going out to all federal agencies who have DEI employees.
What is DEI for those who don't know?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Right.
Basically, hiring based on a person's skin color, or sexual orientation.
Identity politics.
Identity politics. So, as of 4:00 this afternoon Central Time, according to the order has gone out, all of these staff members who work in DEI divisions in the federal government are all getting pink slips today. They're getting paid leave for now, but they will be laid off. This is a big, big deal. And to that point, this morning, the FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, was interviewed on Fox and Friends. He is one who is absolutely delighted that DEI is disappearing from his agency. Cut number 11.
The way President Trump is doing it is going right to the source of that decline, and he's getting rid of it root and branch, and DEI is part of it. To your point, people would be shocked if they learned how much DEI had been embedded in agencies. At the FCC alone, we were spending millions and millions of dollars promoting it. Thanks to President Trump's leadership, that's ending, and we're getting things turned around, focusing on our core mission of actually just connecting Americans.
Let me just say this couple things. First of all, we have a radio network here, American Family Radio, and we have to get licenses for all our stations. And had Harris won, and the extreme liberals would have locked in power for an 8-year period. I'm just saying that radio networks like ours would have been at risk for license renewals because they would have said we're not practicing DEI and we are too conservative or we're too Christian. They would have harassed us.
They would have done the first one publicly, the DEI thing. Now, they wouldn't have said we're too conservative publicly, but they would have said you don't have
enough
DEI.
We're already involved in a lawsuit.
That's right.
Yes, over the bureaucracy's demand. This was under the Biden administration.
That's right.
Yeah,
FCC.
Well, it was I'm not sure what the FCC. Was it the FCC?
Yeah,
it was.
Federal Communications.
They wanted us to give them information about our gender breakdowns
of our donors. Well, also
no, this is separate. This is a separate thing from
one?
That.
Okay.
Of our employees, and we said no, because what they wanted to do is start encroaching camel's nose under the tent kind of thing.
Yeah, telling us how to operate our business.
Yes, and who we could hire, and we said no, we're not going to do that.
That was the FCC. Okay. And this gentleman you just heard from is now the new chairman under the Trump administration. So. That's just one example. It's not hyperbole. You like me using that word, Ed?
I do.
It's not hyperbole to say that our country was saved from the oppression of the secular progressives and what they would have brought even harder than they did under the Biden administration by the election in November.
Right.
All right. The election in November, the Senate changed to 53-47. Now, Republicans, listen, Republicans are human, too. They can make mistakes and they can be wrong sometimes. And we've not been shy about calling them out when Republicans have been on the wrong side of issues. I've even been critical of President Trump when he has been on the, what I consider the wrong side of issues. But that's going to happen. Okay. And as long as human beings are...
It's part of our job as Christians.
Yes, yes, yes. So, but here's the vast difference between President Trump and Vice President Vance and the Republicans and what some, not all, but some of these far-left Democrats want to do is they want to force this DEI stuff on everybody, including churches and nonprofits and Christian radio networks. They wanted to jam it down your throat. If you don't comply, we'll fine you. If you don't pay the fine, we'll take your license away.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to have your message in America because you don't agree with our politics.
Right.
And you don't agree with our agenda. And that's where we were headed until the election put the brakes on everything.
Yeah.
And so I will listen, what President Trump is doing with this, what you just described here, Fred, by stopping this DEI stuff, and this gentleman here, the FCC chairman, he said it right. He said root and branch.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. President Trump is not, he's not fooling around. This isn't, he's not extending an olive branch to the left. He's saying we're out to, we won. And we're going to use our power that we have constitutionally to do everything we can to reverse what these far lefties have done the last 4 years.
Well, and I will just say this for those who are listening and who are saying, you guys are treating politics as if it's going to save the country. No, we're not. What we're saying is when we talk about a reprieve, a political and cultural reprieve because of the election results in November, this gives the church opportunity to do its job, which is to preach the gospel and to uphold the truth, the truths of God's word. And so that's what we're saying. We're saying politically, culturally, we have a reprieve. It's now time for the church to get busy. And that includes voting. That includes running. for offices, but it also includes preaching the gospel and changing the spiritual climate. And so it's, in a sense, an opportunity to go on the offensive with the gospel rather than being on the defensive, trying to keep at arm's length an increasingly hostile secular government.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Wesley, anything you want to add or say about that?
Other than that's why it's a good day, or great day, amen, as I said, to start the segment.
Amen. What's your next story, Fred?
Well, Ed was talking about preaching.
Yeah.
Well, President Trump went to church yesterday. Part of the inaugural week is a service at the National Cathedral.
Right.
The National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. is an Episcopal church, one of the most left-wing denominations in the country.
Yeah, there's seven of them left.
Yes.
Seven Episcopalians across America.
One of the bishops of the left wings that are left is Bishop Marion Budde.
Mm-hmm.
And she did some preaching yesterday, but it was
lecturing is what
supreme
it was.
Wokeness.
Yeah.
And she had the president in front of her, who we know from the past she does not like, President Trump, but she used the opportunity to lecture to him. Cut number two.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land.
All right. Look, I told myself just don't do it, but I'm going to do it. Okay? Here's the problem I have with not using Scripture and not using Scripture in its proper context. Because you could easily flip what she said and say, well, who's having mercy on the children of citizens that are being murdered in this country,
amen,
all right, by illegal immigrants? Who's having mercy on the people who live in Aurora, Colorado, who are living in apartment buildings that were taken over by gangs, Latin American gangs? Who's having mercy on the parents whose children have died of fentanyl? Okay, if you want to play that game, both sides can do it. The fact of the matter is, when you're quoting Scripture, you've got to remember that the Scripture also teaches in Romans 13, for example, that God establishes government to promote what is good and punish what is evil, to keep order in a society. And the Biden administration failed to uphold order and protect the people of this country. That's its job. And you can couch it as being unmerciful, but you can cut both ways on that and talk about the victims of bad public policy. And that was not the place or the time to be lecturing the president on your particular political views. You're supposed to be preaching God's word.
I would say to her, what's her name?
Bishop Marion Budde.
Okay, I would say, listen, Bishop Budde, B-U-D-D-Y.
B-U-D-D-E.
Like the elf.
Her brother's the elf.
Brothers?
Budde the elf.
Ed, this is a serious show. And you're turning it into some kind of comic strip here. Okay, follow
my... He could do that now because he got his serious
I got my shot in.
Yeah. Follow my lead.
Yes, okay. All right.
Bishop what, Fred?
Marion Budde. Budde.
All right, Bishop Budde.
Hey, buddy.
I can't say that without laughing. I'm sorry.
Hey, buddy.
All right, I'll make my point when we get back from this break. Because I have one.
Sure you will do. You? Will you?
Yes. We'll be back momentarily.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Thank you, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley and Fred. And again, today's Wednesday, January the 22nd, 2025. And I know we're all looking forward to springtime, okay? But I guess enjoy the snow.
Yeah.
Folks who getting snow there who don't ever get it. Okay, so we're back to talking about President Trump and Vice President Vance yesterday, as is a tradition, went to the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., which is an Episcopalian church. The cathedral is just a architectural marvel. I've been there many, many times, used to take groups there. It's in the shape of a cross. It has a great and storied history, and you can go there and listen to it. But it's an active Episcopalian church, okay? So the Episcopalian Church, as we know, we've talked about it, has just gone so far left theologically in the last 30 years that they're losing members. They're not gaining any new members. Nobody wants to sign up for a church that doesn't believe in much of anything. Quite frankly, I'm talking about in terms of the gospel message and the exclusivity of the Bible and the authority of the scripture and all that. They just left that almost
as you could tell in the speech where she quoted no scripture.
She's quoted no scripture. We played a clip from a lady by the name of Bishop Buddy, B-U-D-D-E. She is the acting bishop there, the Episcopalian Church in Washington, D.C. And she was speaking yesterday at this event that Trump and Vance went to, and their wives were there with them.
They were,
and it was again. It's tradition, and she lectured them about having mercy on people, as if President Trump and Vice President Vance weren't going to have mercy or don't believe in mercy. And she said things like, gay and lesbian and transgendered children fear for their lives.
Yes.
Fear for their lives. So basically saying, and you.
Sounds like fear mongering.
Yeah, you are the cause of that, Mr. President.
Right.
And Vice President. You're the cause of that. And they're fear for their lives, and they're worried about their parents being taken away from them. Did you hear that? Am I misquoting her?
Well, the parents taken away may be a reference to the immigration part.
Yes. Oh, I thought she was talking about gay and lesbian, transgendered. Okay. The parents taken away from the immigration. Oh, the illegal immigrants.
Yeah, here. Have mercy on those kids as well. But she was talking about the LGBTQ community,
yeah,
and these young people fear for their lives, which if they are fearing for their lives, it's because of people like Bishop Buddy and others on the left who have made Trump out to be the boogeyman. And number two, the fact that he's getting rid of DEI policies, they are equating that with threats to their lives. It's crazy.
Has Trump ever said anything anti-gay?
No, in fact, we don't need to spend a lot of time here, but right. In fact, that was, from a Christian conservative standpoint, that's his weakest, one of his weakest, in my opinion. He's not very strong on that issue. In fact, he's more sympathetic to them than he should be, in my opinion, politically speaking. So all that to say is, no. I mean, in fact, I have more problems with his support of LGBT community than...
I don't think Trump cares about that issue one way or another. Okay,
that's fair.
He's a New York liberal.
Answering your own question then. He's not out to get them.
What I said. Has he ever?
No.
I don't think he's ever said anything against the LGBT. And I'm not asking him to. What I'm saying is all he said was basically he said two very important things in the last few days. One is boys shouldn't be playing girls' sports.
Yes.
Yep.
Which all of America agrees with, right?
Yes, sir.
Democrats and Republicans alike.
Except for a liberal sliver.
Yeah, but he's appealing to common sense there. So, and he's also said that the federal government is only recognizing two genders, male and female.
Yes.
And that's common sense, and that's smart, and that's what Americans want. We don't want 70 different genders, okay? Because there aren't. So quit gaslighting us. Quit trying to, and if you don't recognize... 70 different genders or whatever, then you're some kind of a bigot. And I think the election of Donald Trump people had a chance to react to that notion that you're a bigot if you don't accept all this liberal garbage on gender identity and all this stuff, and that you're some kind of a Nazi. You know, they throw that around.
Well, to your point, and again, I'm with Wesley. We probably do need to move on to some of these stories, but just to highlight the fact that most people in this country do not want men playing in girls' sports. Seth Moulton, who's a congressman from Massachusetts, over the last week, I think, said, "I don't want my daughter playing on a field and getting run over by a guy who says he's a girl." And he said, he's a Democrat. He said, the fact that I was afraid to say that or was intimidated into saying that means that this has got to stop. Mm-hmm. So this is the vast majority of people. No, I don't know anybody personally. There's certainly nobody in the Christian conservative movement who wants to go back to the days when young gay men were being shoved, their heads shoved in toilets. All right, that kind of abuse. Nobody wants that.
No.
All right, but that doesn't.
That's not happening, though.
And it's not happening.
Right.
It happened when I was growing up.
Right. Right.
You know, but what we're concerned with are these kind of common sense things. And if you don't fall in line with the LGBTQ community, you're a bigot and a Nazi.
Putting women's products in boys' restrooms.
Yes.
Like they did in Minnesota. Like that Waltz, is that his name?
Tim Waltz,
the governor there. That's the kind of person we were close to electing.
Yeah.
Who think like that. So anyway.
Yeah, good news.
President Trump is just issuing executive orders with the federal government will only recognize male and female. Yep. And he's ending DEI. I mean, somebody said he's in Hulk mode. Was that you, Ed?
That was me.
Yeah, that was good.
Hulk mode.
He's in Hulk mode. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, as we've noted, Trump is a man of his word during the election campaign, since the election, and in his inaugural address the other day, he reminded people one of his big priorities is the deporting of people, millions, who are in this country illegally. His border czar, Tom Homan, was on Fox and Friends. We'll hear from him in just a second. He said already in the last 48 hours, more than 700 people in the country illegally have been picked up. This is part of the operation. They said this was going to begin right away, and it is. Now, Trump is also facing opposition to this, including the Arizona Attorney General, Chris Mays, who says her state will not cooperate with this federal deportation program. Cut nine.
I also will not have any part of and will fight the attempt to set up what I believe are essentially concentration camps and family separation camps in the state of Arizona.
Concentration camps. That was a selected word. As I say, Tom Holman responded to this morning on Fox and Friends. Cut 10.
Look, I find it strange that the attorney general from Arizona makes such statements, because there was a lawsuit in Arizona a few years ago, the Show Me Your Papers a lawsuit, in highest courts in the land that said immigration enforcement is a federal responsibility. Federal responsibility. She has no say in the matter. And look, I've said many times, we said right out of the gate, Lawrence, right out of the gate, we're going to concentrate on public safety threats. So she's saying that she doesn't want public safety threats out of her community. I also am insulted by the term concentration camps. Are you serious? Yeah. You're comparing ICE agents. We just lost a Border Patrol agent to a shooting up in Vermont yesterday, and they're the Gestapo. Are you serious? Concentration camps? ICE has detention centers. They have the best standards in the entire industry. I'll compare ICE detention standards to any state or federal facility or any county facility in the entire world.
Who is it? Reagan said of Mondale or somebody. There you go again.
Might have been Carter.
Might have been Carter. There you go again. See, that's what this attorney general from Arizona. She said she says she considers concentration camps that Trump and
The detention centers
are concentration camps.
Yeah,
which were the same ones used by the former president. And the one before that,
yeah,
which would also include the Democrat presidents before that.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I mean,
I know
there's nothing new here with their
kids in cages. If it's a Republican president,
yeah,
if it's not a Republican president, the same thing that may happen is detention. Listen, here's I just want to express what I think is going to happen. I'm going to share my heart. It's what Christians do. We share our hearts. We're not rounding up millions of people in this country.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. I don't have factual information to back it up because it hasn't happened yet. I'm just going to tell you what I think is going to happen, which is going to be a good thing. First of all, the emphasis on shutting down the border is going to be strong and swift by the Trump administration in every respect. Everything that he can do, he will do to stop the border, stop this. He's probably already stopping right now, because when word gets back to Mexico City or Guatemala or Beijing, where all these people are coming from around the world. It's been a cottage industry, right? Coming from around the world. The word is going to get back to them. You pay $3,000 to go to America, and guess what? You get there and you can't get in.
Because there's wait in Mexico.
Yeah, that's going to stop the influx.
Right.
Okay. At least to the degree that we've been seeing it the last 4 years under Biden's y'all come policy. So, but what I do think is going to happen is they're going to crack down on the gangs, the Venezuelan gangs we've heard so much about, and other illegal enterprises here. Yeah, I say enterprise. I don't know if that's the right word, of criminal activity that are because of illegal immigration.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? And I don't. But as far, again, this is my opinion, all right? I don't think you're going to see millions of people, quote, rounded up and sent back to their home countries. That ship sailed. People, and Americans wouldn't put up with it anyway. Americans are bipolar on this.
Right.
Okay? I'm bipolar. In other words, by that, well, I mean, we don't want to see... Well, do you know what I'm trying to say here? Can you help me share my heart?
Yeah, I think what we're all saying is you get rid of the criminals.
Or lock them up.
Or you institute policies that will result in self-deportation.
Okay, so
if
there
you say
go.
If you say your kids aren't going to be educated,
right.
You're not going to get free stuff, you're not going to get EBT
right.
cards,
all that.
So then they start going home on their own. Or I'm in favor of, I've mentioned, you give them a stipend. We'll give you $2,000 a piece to make your way back to your home, give you at least a start on a new life. We're encouraging you to go, okay? But nobody's going to want to see images of ICE agents busting into houses and dragging screaming, crying people and children and loading
them
in a van.
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody wants to see that. The American people are too compassionate and too merciful to see that kind of thing happen.
But those things you just mentioned, all those self-deportation encouragements or incentives, I think will happen. So I'm just saying, you're not going to see millions of people rounded up, but you're going to see a stop of illegal immigration into America, almost at a trickle. It's going to become a trickle.
Yeah.
And the ICE and others are going to crack down on the criminal activity in this country. I do think those things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, and you're not going to see any kind of path, quote, pathway to citizenship talk either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not going to see that. So those things are going to happen. But what you described, I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think people want to see that.
It'd be all over social media.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, screaming kids tug at people's hearts. See, yeah. We are a compassionate nation.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, joining us now is Jenna Ellis. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning right here on American Family Radio and host of On Demand, a podcast here on American Family Radio that Jenna hosts that you can access by going to our website, afr.net, click on the podcast, and you can listen to Jenna's podcast as she goes more in depth on topics than she's able to on the one-hour show each morning here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And speaking of On Demand, I have Daniel Horowitz from The Blaze, who's the host of the CR podcast for this Friday. And it's going to be an amazing conversation about generational and enduring wins. And I'm very excited for that because as you've been talking about today on your show and as I've been talking about, there's so much that the American people are excited for with this Trump mandate. But as we saw, Trump in the first 8 hours reversed so many of Biden's executive orders that we need to make sure that the good things that the Trump administration does in this next 4 years can't just be reversed again by another incoming administration. So
that's a good point.
This Friday On Demand, and it's going to be a great conversation. I really respect Daniel Horowitz. He's a great guest.
Oh, absolutely. And I do think, you know, and you're a constitutional lawyer, Jenna. I do think the whole executive order thing has just got out of control. But the problem started with the Democrats. And you remember Barack Obama couldn't get anything done.
Phone in his pen.
Yeah. He said, he said, I got a phone in a pen. When he couldn't get anything done legislatively, at least not what he thought should be done, which has been the way since George W. Bush was in office. I mean, it's hard to get legislation passed when you have a divided Congress, and
right.
that's the way our founders set it up. So Obama got frustrated and said, I got a phone and a pen. I'll just bypass Congress. That's what he was saying with executive orders, and he tried to do that, and he did that some. And then just Biden just went crazy with him. So anything that Trump does basically is reversals of what was started with executive orders. Jenna, I wanted to ask you real quickly – a story that got about 24 hours play, if it got that much, in some media, but not much. What Joe Biden did on the last 15 minutes in office, and that was pardon like 5 or 6 members of his family from any kind of subsequent investigation that may lead to criminal charges. You know, what did I describe that right? And what was that all about?
Yeah, so they're technically called preemptive pardons, and this is when there's not even an investigation that's going on. It's retroactive in the sense that it can't be for future conduct, but it can go back even years. The one that he gave to Anthony Fauci, interestingly, went back to January of 2014. So you got to wonder what exactly he was doing back then that Biden would want to pardon him for and basically insulate him from any sort of legal consequences. And this has never really been litigated at the Supreme Court, but it does have legal precedent because we remember that Ford pardoned Nixon on his way out of office. So nobody ever really followed up and questioned that. But it really boils down to the question of justice and whether this is an abuse of the pardon authority, because clearly the founders did not intend pardons to be used for political purposes or to insulate yourself or your family from future responsibility and accountability through either civil or criminal liability. But that's exactly what's going on. And the question could even be raised if some of Trump's pardons are that he did in the first days are politically motivated as well. But really, when you look at what Biden did in his final acts for his own family, well, I don't think that a Supreme Court is going to interpret Article 2, which grants very broad pardon power to the executive branch, that they would say that those pardons are legally invalid. I think the question for the American people needs to be raised, what kind of executive do we want? Because if we're really returning to law and order and a true moral sense of justice, then these types of powers should not be used for personal or political gain.
Yes. So, but basically, everybody looking at this saw was that James Comer, I believe is his name, the representative, the Republican representative who was investigating all the money that the Biden family made from foreign entities and influence peddling and all that. We know the story of Hunter Biden making all that money from Ukrainian energy companies when he had no experience in that, just to buy influence with his then vice president dad. So we all saw that. So what Joe Biden said was, hey, I'm going to shut down any more attempts to get to the bottom of this by pardoning them all from when they hadn't even been charged with crimes. That's the other part I don't understand is how can you be pardoned from crimes you haven't even been charged with? That's just bizarre to me.
Right.
Go ahead.
It seems to me more like a confession.
Well, yeah.
Well, and that's exactly right. It's like, why do you need a pardon if you really haven't committed any sort of criminal activity? And of course, Biden and his spokespeople said, well, this is to prevent, you know, the Trump administration from coming after their political opponents, because wouldn't that be a horrible thing to do? And saying that with a straight face, and Adam Schiff, who was actually a recipient of one of those pardons, saying that with a straight face and condemning some of the Trump pardons is just the bottom of the barrel of the scum of hypocrisy. And it's utterly disgusting and despicable. But that's really what it is. And we remember the Hunter Biden pardon, even though he was charged and convicted out of D.C. and Delaware, that pardon extended back 11 years for conduct that wasn't even yet investigated. So these preemptive pardons are not anything new. The difficulty with challenging their validity is who exactly would have standing. Certainly it wouldn't just be, you know, you or I or the American people writ large, because there's a lot of case law on that, especially for challenging, for example, broad laws or taxes or things like that, that we just generally object to. So that's really going to be the difficulty of standing in some of these cases.
You know what? I here's what I expect to happen, and it may not happen. I've been wrong. This is a... I've been wrong 7 times in my life. No, 8.
Enough to be able to keep.
Well, my bad, 8. I remember another one that I didn't count.
7 is the number of perfection, though. Well, so you should stop right there and just say right you were perfectly wrong.
Okay. I think this is the new normal. I think when President Trump leaves office, he's going to have a slew of people that he's going to say, I'm going to pardon. Because
but is there, hold on, but is there not a good, is there not a, that doesn't mean that he's going to misuse it necessarily. I would say that Biden's misusing this.
Well, he certainly set a record. I'm looking at an Axios article. I mean, Joe Biden has issued 4,200 pardons and commutations. The closest is Barack Obama with 1.9 thousand.
What I'm saying, yes, thank you for that. What I'm saying is the act of pardoning someone is not unlawful or unconstitutional.
Okay, the Democrats started this. Once again, the Democrats started this. I'm just saying, and I could be wrong, if you're President Trump, when you leave office, this is projecting way out. I shouldn't even be talking about this, except to say I think it is going to become the new normal for presidents to protect in their mind, they're going to be protecting their families and their friends from any investigations. And so they're just going to – Trump's going to say, hey, Biden did it. You didn't say anything. You think that's going to happen?
Right. Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think we're already seeing that because, you know, Trump doesn't have another election left. And so while he could have on his way out of his first term pardon, for example, the J6ers, he did that his first day in office this time, which is a huge departure from the typical norm, which is to use the pardons kind of on your way out of office, which the Constitution, by the way, doesn't prescribe. And I think that we do need to get back as a whole to this idea that pardon power should be used very, very minimally and only when justice requires, right, not for these political purposes. But I think you're absolutely right that this has become the new norm. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trump continued to use this, you know, even throughout his entire term, because he doesn't have another election left. So what does it matter to him?
Right.
And if he's still under Biden's threshold, or even if he's not, his attitude is probably who cares.
Right, right. No, I agree with that. Hey, Jenna, so your interview with Daniel Horowitz is going to be when?
It will drop Friday morning, so look for that on AFR.net under the podcast tab. It's every Friday on Demand.
On Demand with Jenna Ellis, Daniel Horowitz, excellent guests. That'll be Friday. That'll drop. Go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and you can check out all our shows there. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.